Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 8. In verse 33, who shall bring any charge against God's elect when it is God who justifies, that is, who puts us into right relation with Him? This is the Amplified. God justifies. He puts us into right relation with Him. God is the one who makes us rightly related to Him. It's extremely important that we stay rightly related to God. This is where our life is found. Now, He's the one who makes that happen. We're simply available and responsive to it. But He's the one who makes it happen. Now, consider that everything that would separate us from Him has been resolved. Now, that does necessarily mean that sin has been eliminated, not the existence of sin, but each time sin comes into existence, it's eliminated. That is the activity of the blood in 1 John 1:7. When sin comes into existence, it's removed out of time in Psalm 103:12. There's no such thing as sin keeping us from being rightly related to God. Granted, if I continue in sin, I break fellowship with Him. But from what needs to happen in order for me to be rightly related to Him, that has already been done. In Revelation 13:8, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. It's already been done. In Ephesians 2:15 and 16, we're already made to be one new man with Him. Rightly related to Him has already been done. So the fact that I may be out of fellowship does not necessarily mean that I'm not rightly related. It's that I'm not appropriating the relationship that I have. That's rectified in 1 John 1:9 by confessing my sin to Christ. And then He deals with the sin. Then I enter into being in agreement with Him in Amos 3:3, and two can walk together again. Stay rightly related to Him. Stay rightly related to Him. Many people, although God has already done all that is necessary for them to be rightly related to Him, they don't experience that. They don't have that functional in their life. To them, it's a positional truth, not an experiential reality. Whether it's an experiential reality, however, is dependent on us. In James 1:18, it was of His own free will that He gave us birth as sons by His word of truth, so that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. We need to be rightly related to truth. Because it's truth that gave us birth. We need to be rightly related to truth. In John 17:17, the Word of God is truth. He is truth in John 14:6. In John 1:14, the Word became flesh. So to be rightly related to God is to be rightly related to the Word of God. In John 10:17, that Word of God is what produces faith in us. In Hebrews 11:6, without that faith, it's impossible to please Him. So, without faith, I can't be rightly related to truth. Truth is what produces that faith. If a person is not operating in faith, that shows you that they're not rightly related to truth. If a person is living in fear, for example, they're not rightly related to truth or to love. If a person is living in insecurity, they're not rightly related to truth. If a person is self-oriented, they're not rightly related to truth. When I'm rightly related to truth, in Romans 1:7, I will live from faith to faith. It means that I receive faith through the Word of God and I will apply the Word of God by faith. And this is the believer's life. So when I'm rightly related to truth, I'm also rightly related to life. A lot of people are not rightly related to life. Now, I have a question for you. Who made you alive? God made you alive. Now, there are those people who say, well, my parents made me alive. They had me. My parents made me alive. No. Your parents had offspring. God made that offspring alive. The reason why you're alive is because you have the soul that is produced by the Holy Spirit alive inside of you. He breathed into your nostrils the breath of life, and you became a living soul. It's the soul that keeps your body alive. Now, God is the one who gave you this life. Why? Why did He give you this life? There are some people who enjoy their life tremendously, and then there are some people who don't. There are Christians who see the value of their own lives, and then there are Christians who don't. In order to see the value in my own life, I have to be rightly related to life. In order to be rightly related to life, I have to be rightly related to truth. Now, that doesn't just mean that I believe the truth is true. It means that I appropriate it, I apply it, I use it. And I don't just use it outwardly in my activities. That's really more of a religious mindset, if that's what it's limited to. I use it in my thinking. Because my mind is where all my activities come from, my choices come from. So I apply the truth to my mind. The only way to be rightly related to truth is to be rightly related to truth in my thinking. And when I am rightly related to truth in my thinking, that will cause me to be rightly related to life. God didn't give me life to be miserable. God gave me life to experience His life, which is extremely fulfilling. There's a tremendous amount of joy in that, tremendous amount of contentment in that. Now, there are some believers who do not have joy, who do not have contentment. But that's not God's design. Those people are living outside of God's design, where God's design is to be rightly related to truth and thereby rightly related to life. What happened to Adam and Eve in the garden? Satan came with deception. And they used to be rightly related to truth. They used to have contentment. They used to have joy. But Satan came in with deception. And in that deception, they became disoriented to truth rather than rightly related to truth. They became disoriented to life rather than rightly related to life. Part of what God said in Genesis 2:16-17, when He told them, you can eat of any tree but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the day you eat of it, you're going to surely die. That has a lot of applications, that dying part. Part of it is, yes, physical death. Your telomeres start to shorten in that day, and physical death will ultimately come because of it. There was a genetic component. There was also an experiential component. There was a spirit component. The spirit within them, the human spirit, died on that day. Additionally, there was a life component. They were rightly related to life, and now they were disoriented to life. They were no longer experiencing the fullness of life. They became disoriented to truth rather than rightly related to truth. It's imperative to stay rightly related. We stay rightly related to the Word of God. We stay rightly related to truth. We stay rightly related to life. It's imperative that we stay rightly related. You can't enjoy your life the way God has designed you to if you're not rightly related. In John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If any man loves me, he will keep my word." Keep is the word kala in the original language, and it refers to application of doctrine. He will apply my word. He'll apply doctrine. If any man loves me, he will apply the word of God. The pastor comes up, he teaches you some categories of doctrine, and you apply those categories of doctrine, whatever they happen to be. Perhaps it's the doctrine of love. You keep yourself in the love of God. Perhaps it's the doctrine of mercy. You look for mercy, you apply mercy, you give mercy. It's any doctrine you can think of. And God has doctrines to cover everything. So you take that category of doctrine that meets the circumstance that you're dealing with, and you apply that category of doctrine. That's what it's talking about. If any man loves me, he will apply doctrine. And my Father will love him. And he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, does not apply doctrine. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Without doctrine, it's impossible to fellowship with Christ. It's through doctrine that we stay rightly related to the love of God. When you say keep yourself in the love of God, how am I going to do that? And it says look for mercy. Yes, okay, draw near to God. He draws near to you. How am I going to do that? Look for mercy, yes. But how am I going to look for mercy? I apply the doctrine of mercy. You apply doctrine. How are you going to relate to love? You apply the doctrine of love. How do you stay rightly related to forgiveness? You apply the doctrine of forgiveness. So it's an applying doctrine that whatever area of our life we need to be rightly related, we are rightly related through doctrine. Finding doctrine is not hard. People aren't used to the thought. Well, you apply doctrine. What is doctrine? Well, doctrines are the teachings of the church. Doctrine is God's mind for any given situation. So when we talk about categories of doctrine, it's because God has a thought for everything. Literally, any situation that can arise, God has a thought regarding that situation. That thought is categorical doctrine. So there's a category. You go into business, there's a category for business. So you apply the doctrine that pertains to business. You become a doctor, there's a category for that. It doesn't matter what you do. You are in a relationship, there's a category for that type of relationship. No matter what kind of relationship there is, there's a separate category for every single kind. You apply the doctrine. In applying the doctrine, you stay rightly related. You want to apply doctrine to stay rightly related to the love of God. Sometimes people don't believe that they're loved. Well, part of that reason is often because they're not rightly related to doctrine. Because doctrine takes you to the love of God. In John 15:5, you keep yourself in the love of God and you keep the word of God in your frame of reference. There you bear much fruit. That's the way you become rightly oriented, rightly related to love. In 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved. Now, I realize that some translations say we love God because he first loved us. No, that's not in the original language. It's we love because he first loved us. Whether it's God, whether it's our neighbor, we love because he first loved us. Well, of course. In Romans 5:8, he made us to be one with the love of God in the original language. So yes, of course, through the cross where we became one new man with him, we love because he first loved us. We become united to the one who is love, therefore we love. And he did it by love in John 3:16. He united us, made us one to be with his love. Doctrine is what allows me to function in that. And so I get rightly related to that which is already mine. If you're not rightly related to that which is already yours, you're going to be a frustrated individual. Because you're going to try to make things happen on your own. You're going to try to figure things out on your own because you're not rightly related. But you're not going to make it on your own. You have to make it through being rightly related to the various components of who He is, His thoughts, His character, His love, everything about Him. We become rightly related. And 1 John 2:5, whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Whoever applies the word of God, the love of God is matured in him. The reason for that is because he grows confident in that word. If I'm not confident toward the word of God, I'm not going to apply the word of God. But if I'm applying the word of God, it means I've gotten mature in my confidence toward the word of God. I've seen it come through for me through experience in Romans 5, 3-5. And when I see that God does in fact love me, I become very confident toward His word. When I apply His word, because of that confidence, His love is perfected in me. It's manifested, it's matured, it's completed. In Jude 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep is the word terio, again, apply. Apply yourselves in the love of God. This is different than the way we think of it. Sometimes we think of it in kind of vague terms. Keep yourself in the love of God. God loves me, God loves me, God loves me, God loves me. Apply yourself to the love of God. That means you need to know what the love of God is. Well, 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7 define it beautifully. You get 1 Corinthians 13:4 down, everything else will follow on its own. Love is first patient, then it is kind. You want to apply yourself to the love of God? Apply yourself to patience and to kindness. Kindness is the immediate extension of patience. Kindness is the outward manifestation of the inward condition. And so you apply yourself to patience, you apply yourself to kindness. How do you do that? You look for mercy. Well, how am I going to be rightly related to mercy? This is a must-do. In Lamentations 3:22, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. And so that rightly related to mercy is a big deal. It's through the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. We're alive because of the mercy of God. Think about it. We're all sinners. We all have a sin nature. There's no good thing in any one of us. It's His mercy that we're not consumed. Because we are rightly related to mercy, we have a place with God. Titus 3:5 says we're saved by mercy. So, being rightly related to mercy, it doesn't just mean I'm not consumed and that's it. It means that I actually have an entire place, my position, my place, my home in the New Jerusalem, that is all by the mercy of God. And I get to experience that here on earth by being rightly related to the mercy of God. In being rightly related to the mercy of God, I realize that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Because the mercy of God is based on the blood of Christ, and the blood of Christ removes sin from time. There's nothing in time that can separate me from the love of God. And there's nothing in time that can separate me. Well, we live in time, and eternity is certainly not going to do it. And so we stay in the love of God. We look for mercy. When we're rightly related to mercy, that's where we're rightly related to love, that's where we're rightly related to doctrine. How can I be rightly related to doctrine without being rightly related to mercy? If I'm not rightly related to mercy, then my application of doctrine is law. Stay rightly related. Stay rightly related. Maintain that. It is something you have to maintain. Satan will try to distract you from it. He'll take you out of it. He'll try to disorient you. Maintain it. Maintain it. In Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When you keep yourself rightly related to mercy, you're keeping yourself rightly related to all three dimensions of grace. One of the reasons why people are not rightly related to grace is because they don't realize there's three dimensions. Mercy doesn't just take you into one dimension. It takes you to three dimensions. The first dimension is what everybody calls unmerited favor. Indeed, it is unmerited favor. It's the gift of God in Ephesians 2:8. But then there's the kindness of God in verse 7 of Ephesians 2. And the throne of grace, which is actually the most important part of grace, that sometimes we are disoriented to. You stay rightly related to the throne of grace, and you'll be rightly related to the kindness of grace and to the favor of grace. But it starts with the throne. To be rightly related to the throne of grace, you need to be related to the mercy of God. To be rightly related to the mercy of God, you need to be rightly related to the love of God. To be rightly related to the love of God, you need to be rightly related to the Word of God. It's all connected. If I become wrongly related, disoriented to one, I frequently become disoriented to all. Because they're connected. Stay rightly related to grace. Now, our lives are all about grace. Everything in our life is grace. That's why we can have a relationship with God. Because God commands things through grace. Grace is His throne. The very first recorded activity of the throne of grace was that He chose us before the foundation of the world in Christ. The next activity of grace was the slaying of the Lamb. That was the foundation of the world in Revelation 13:8. So everything that exists is an extension of that expression of grace. You didn't form the world, you didn't make yourself alive, but yet somehow people think that it's up to them. Well, I have to make things happen. I have to make the call of God happen, the plan of God happen, whatever. It's not up to you. It's up to God who has called you, who will also do it. So it's not in that you step out of grace after you have entered the kingdom. No, it's that you live by grace because of the kingdom. And you do it through faith in Romans 5:2. So in order to stay rightly related to grace, I have to be rightly related to faith. Because faith brings me into grace. If I'm disoriented to faith, I won't be able to apply grace. I won't have the character of God in my thinking. I won't have the Word of God in my thinking. I won't trust Him with that. I can't be related to His love thereby. How am I going to have any faith at all? And if I don't have any faith, I won't live by faith to faith. I won't have that manifestation of the throne of grace. I won't be rightly related to grace. I won't even be able to apply unmerited favor, which is the easiest thing in the world to do. And yet many believers can't do it because they're not rightly related. Somebody does something and I find it unforgivable. Why? Why is it unforgivable? David was a murderer, yet he'll be the prince of the millennium. Paul was a murderer, yet he was the greatest of the apostles. Why do you find it unforgivable? Abraham was an adulterer. He was the father of everybody's faith, Jews and us. Why do you find that so incredible? Because you're not related to grace. You're not related to mercy, not related to doctrine, not related to forgiveness. It all comes as a package deal. We have to be rightly related. If you become disoriented one area, it'll disorient all the others also. Satan wants to disorient us to these things. Don't let him. It's really a choice. What will you believe? Believe the word of God, which is truth. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is the crux of the finished work. That you are a new creation. That you are a new creation. You're not the old. You're not the old. You're not who you were when you were 17 years old before you got saved and did whatever it is that you did. You're not the old. You're the new. The blood removed the old from time. You're not the old. You are the new. The nature of that new creation is that you are one with Christ. You could consider it a new species. You are the one new man with the Savior. That didn't happen before. But that was the purpose. You need to be related to the finished work because that's where your newness of life comes from. That's where you become disconnected to the old and maintain your connection in the new. Now, sometimes people try to hold on to the old, which is a terrible mistake, because the old is passed away. The blood of Christ has made it pass away. So people sometimes try to hold on to things that don't actually exist. And they say, I remember, and God says, you're fantasizing. Because I don't remember. Keeping in mind that God knows all things in 1 John 3:20, if he doesn't know it, then it's not there to be known. That's how the activity of the blood works. Be rightly related to the finished work. There is no condemnation because you're the new creature. There is no guilt because you're the new creature. There is no hopelessness because you're the new creature. There is no loneliness because you're the new creature. You stay rightly related to the finished work. If you fail, confess your sin. The blood of Christ has already forgiven you by removing your sin from time. You don't have to worry about it. You simply have to believe it by faith so that in Hebrews 9:14, your conscience is cleansed. But you have to be rightly related to the finished work. If you're walking around with the memory of sin, well, you're not rightly related to the finished work. If you do not actively put it away from your thinking, in 2 Corinthians 10:5, then you're not rightly related to the finished work. If you have guilt from things God has cleansed you from, you're not rightly related to the finished work. If you can level an accusation against another believer, true or false, you're not rightly related to the finished work. The finished work of Christ, we have to be rightly related to it because that is the foundation of who God is making us to be in our practical experience, which He's already completed in our position. You are the new creation. Now, either God is lying or they are, those who do not believe this, but my money is on God telling the truth. Stay rightly related to the finished work. You can't be rightly related to your life if you're not rightly related to the finished work. You can't thereby be rightly related to doctrine if you're not rightly related to the finished work. You cannot be rightly related to love if you're not rightly related to the finished work. You cannot be rightly related to grace if you're not rightly related to the finished work. You cannot rightly be related to faith if you are not rightly related to the finished work. And you're certainly not rightly related to mercy if you are not rightly related to the finished work. Stay rightly related to the finished work. Rightly related is your life. If you're not rightly related, the best you have is a natural life. But rightly related is your life. And in 1 Corinthians 2:14, if you simply have the natural man, instead of being rightly related, you receive nothing from God. What do you want? Ask yourself, what do you want? Everything you need comes from being rightly related. Joy comes from rightly related. Love comes from rightly related. Compassion comes from rightly related. Provisions come from rightly related. Answers to prayer, John 15:7, comes from being rightly related. What do you want? Whatever it is that you need, you'll find it in being rightly related. What do you want? Well, my suggestion is that you learn to desire to be rightly related. Because in rightly related, you find everything. In Romans 8:28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. So I'm rightly related to the love of God. That means that I have a right relationship to God. So all things work together for good. Now, a lot of people just leave it there. And then they scratch their heads when circumstances happen. And they say to themselves, well, all things work together for good. This will work out and it will be good. That's not the end of the thought. All things work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose. And then it proceeds to tell you what that is. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn of many brethren. We need to be rightly related because we're related to Him. So it's imperative that we're rightly related. Can you imagine that? Be disrelated, if you will, to the One who has imparted life to you, the One who is the reason that you are alive, not to be rightly related? Well, many people aren't, and many people are. You need to be. You're related to Him. He made you related. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, you're the body of Christ. Because he has made you to be one new man, because he has made you to be one with the love of God, he wants you to be an expression of who you are in the same manner that he desires to be an expression of who he is, love. So he brings things about with a purpose, and that purpose is to make you the outward expression of who he is to a lost and dying world, to people in churches who need to see his love, to everybody around you who doesn't need to see me, they need to see him. And so we have to stay rightly related to his purpose if we're going to be rightly related to him. Because everything that's going on around you, it's with his purpose. All things are from God in 2 Corinthians 5:18. Everything around you is from him with his purpose. If I'm not rightly related to his purpose in all things, this isn't going to work for me. This is going to become a real source of frustration because I'm expecting a change of circumstance rather than a change of heart. You've got to be rightly related to his purpose. You are already related to him. Now he wants you to be his expression. That's his purpose. Matthew 22, 37 to 39, right? Love God, love people. That's his purpose. That's the image. So if I'm rightly related to his purpose, I'm rightly related to his love, but I can only do that by rightly related to doctrine. Then I'll become rightly related to his love. Then I'll be rightly related to his mercy. Then I'll be rightly related to his forgiveness. Then I'll be rightly related to mercy. Then I'll be rightly related to grace. Then I'll be rightly related to all of it. You got to stay rightly related. Starts with the Word of God. He birthed you by his word. Starts with his word. You got to be rightly related. Without his word, you will not be rightly related to his purpose either. In Ephesians 4:22, put off your old self. I like that wording. Some passages say put off the old man, but really the meaning is put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Doesn't that just say a lot? If you just sit there and think about that one for a while, put off your old self and be renewed in the spirits of your minds, rightly related through life. And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Righteousness, we've explained this before, is the relationship with God that brings you into right standing, so it's relationship. Holiness is his nature expressed in his character, which is love. Holiness is the nature of love. This is who God has made you to be. So he's saying, put off the old and put on the new. Put on that which is natural, which was eliminated at the cross, and put on the new, which was given life through the word of God. Put on that new person. Because that person is who you are now. Whether you feel it or not, for that matter, whether you experience it or not, and the goal is that you experience it, that's who you are now. You are the Ephesians 2:15 and 16, one new man with Christ, the 1 Corinthians 12:27 body of Christ, made to be one with the love of God in Romans 5:8. That's the new person. be rightly related to who you are. A lot of believers are not rightly related to who they are. And thereby, they do not get to experience the benefits of who they are, which is who God has made them to be. Now, in order to do that, you must stop relating to the past and relate to who God has made you to be. Yet one believer after another, and certainly not all, but too many, relate to their past. And to them, salvation was really a detail in their life that they are grateful for. But it's not a new life. It's simply a continuation of the old life, just a little bit improved. Because now they have confidence that they're saved, and sometimes when they pray, they get an answer. You're disoriented. Stop relating to the past. What was your failure in the past? Don't relate to that. Drives me nuts when I see these guys get up in churches as testimonies. Oh, I was a 21-year-old alcoholic with all kinds of women or all kinds of men, or I was a 21-year-old prostitute or what have you. But then God cleaned me up and now here I am. All cleaned up. Yes, you are so refurbished. If any man be in Christ, he is a refurbished creation. All things are cleaned up, tidied up, tightened up. Old things, but looking new. It's not what the Bible says. Be rightly related to who you are. Oh, but I failed last week. That's not who you are. You're not your failure. You're not your weaknesses. You're not your mistakes. You are the new creation, one with Christ. You are the embodiment of the love of God. Be rightly related to who you are. If you're not rightly related to who you are, well, you're not living in reality. Be rightly related to who you are so that you can finally enjoy living the life that God has given you. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.